Starting in September, we began celebrating our 50th anniversary as a church. This is quite an anniversary year. And throughout the morning services, we've been looking at the DNA of the New Testament church. This morning, here on Mother's Day, I would like to look at the all-important matter of New Testament wives and mothers in particular. Turn with me to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, and we're going to see a chapter that dovetails with much of the emphasis that we've had throughout this year as we've looked at the importance of right doctrine, right belief, that a church must follow the New Testament pattern. And as you look at chapter 2, you have a practical application here of truth in the key components of our lives. And it ends, chapter 2 does, with the great teaching on the grace of God and all that God is able to do for us. But I do want you to note, before we look at this passage, in verse 1, it says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Now, you would think you'd go into an exposition on doctrine. But instead, we have a challenge to older men, younger women, and older men, older women, younger women, and then younger men. A very practical application. So how we live does affect the matter of maintaining the truth of God's Word. Folks, lifestyle is tied to doctrine. And I think sometimes we forget that. If you look down at verse 5, you look at the last part there, speaking of how young ladies should be taught and how they should live, that the word of God, there it is, be not blasphemed. And then at the end, talking about the servants, if we look at the end of verse 10, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. So clearly this passage is given to the people there that Titus was working with to help them understand that the doctrine of God, the truth of God, was either going to be lifted up or torn down by the lifestyle that they chose. And I'm going to look particular here in these few minutes that we have at how important the life and testimony of ladies are in our day. There's a wonderful story about a father and his little daughter. They were out off of the eastern coast, and they were beginning to come back in, and out of nowhere, a violent storm came. And the problem was that the shoreline was all cliffs and rocky, very, very dangerous, and the waves were extremely high. Well, the mother was with her son in the cottage there, right on the coast, and she immediately knew the danger that her husband and daughter were in. And so she takes a lamp, lights it, and goes all the way up to the top to the attic. And she puts the lamp in the window. Well, the boy, the son, who was probably in his teenage years, cried up to her and said, "That won't do any good in this dark storm." Well, she began to pray. Well, as they were out on the ocean, there was just this little bit of a glimmer of gold on the water's edge that the daughter picked up. And she was able to see it. And so the father said, "Let's go directly for that little bit of gold. Just stay right on course. Go do everything you can to stay right on it." And they did, and it continued to stay there. And they were able then to get into the little harbor that was right there by their house, and they were safe. Well, you can imagine how overjoyed the mother was when she heard the voices of her husband and her daughter. And she said, "How did you get here?" And the daughter said, "We steered by mother's light." And the son heard that, who had a heart that wasn't really where it ought to be. And that night it really bothered him. And he thought, "You know, I need to start steering by mother's light." He gave his life to the Lord. And within the year, he actually passed away. And when he was dying, he says, "I'm okay. I have been steering by mother's light." Ladies, it is so important in this day that you understand how the glory of God and the light of the truth of God the doctrine of God needs to shine through your lives. As I said, God beautifully planned it at the tremendous influence that you would have with your husband and with your children. And we're going to look at that here as we look to Titus chapter 2. We have the admonition given to the men, verse 2, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, that's agape love, in patience. And then we get to the aged women likewise. And so the first thing I want us to see here is how that as women get older, their lives need to so grow that they exemplify godliness in their life. They exemplify godliness in their lives. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Wow, those are power-packed verses. Well, first of all, we have to the aged women, verse 3, that their life needs to be a consecrated life. They are to have a testimony like that of the godly men. Behavior there means demeanor, deportment, and as becometh holiness, a holy reverence for God. Think about it, those of you that are older, if you knew of older women that were in godly churches, did not you think of that sense of reverence and seriousness about the things of God? Unfortunately, we've lost that a lot today, but older women have truly been a guiding light over the years. And in fact, Newt Larson says, the umbrella term which Paul used regarding older women is reverent. These women were to be suitable for what was sacred. The tenor of their lives was to display a consecrated holiness to God. The Christian is to exceed the ethical and moral standards of the surrounding society. May I say that again? The Christian is to exceed the ethical and moral standards of the surrounding society. May I suggest to you that today what is moral in the minds of a lot of people is really immoral when it comes to what the Bible says. The call upon a Christian's life comes not from the neighborhood or nation, the mores of consensus, but from the divine personality and nature of God. And so, ladies, I want to urge on, and this is for obviously all of us, a life that displays godly reverence. When people hear you, see your priorities, when they're around you, they know you honor God. That God is utmost in your life. There is a reverence for Him. The reality of God is in you. There's the sweetness of God's love. But there is also the fragrance of His holiness about you. How important. 14-year-old Jason Van Bloom of Oceanside won the San Diego County Spelling Bee. And he guessed the final answer. He used no technique in getting his last word right. It was sheer luck, that's all, the boy said. He confessed that. He didn't have the slightest idea either what the word meant. Well, you're not going to win in having this kind of testimony by chance. We're living in a storm-tossed culture today that actually goes after, ladies, the older generation. As I said, I used to see the majority of older women just show forth that reverence, and I thank God here that is so much the case. But there is such an attack today, and so there has to be, instead of by chance, there has to be a purposeful decision to be biblical, to be countercultural if need be, to truly love the Lord, to have your dependence upon Him and nothing else. We know Romans 12:1, that it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present. There is a willful action that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. What's the next word? Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And it goes on then to say, not false accusers. The controlled tongue should be the mark of mature women. In fact, James 3:2 says, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect or mature man and is able to bridle the whole body. If you really want to know how you're doing spiritually, how are you doing with the matter of saying things to other people about other people? How are you doing about gossip? How are you doing about negative talk? How are you doing about inappropriate communication? And that can be a temptation, especially when one gets older and is maybe has a little different kind of time on their hand. And so this is dealt with very directly here. And it's the word from which we get the devil, actually, the idea of slanderer. There's a danger for young ladies in 1 Timothy 5, speaking to young widows, and with all they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also in busybodies, speaking things that they ought not. Titus 3:2, just a page over there, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. H.A. Ironside says it well, the aged women were to walk in accordance with their holy profession, being especially warned against the wrong use of the tongue, not false accusers. Folks, the power of the tongue, as James chapter 3 says, is an amazing thing, and it has a generational impact. Think of the difference of the hateful words of Adolf Hitler and what that did to millions of people versus the encouraging and wholesome words of Winston Churchill and how it caused a nation to rise out of ashes to protect Western society. Words, they make a difference. And I tell you, you can destroy a generation or you can edify a generation by the talk that we have. Spurgeon said, tale-bearing emits a threefold poison, for it injures the teller, the hearer, and the person concerning from of whom the tale is told. How true it is. Oh, that my tongue might so possess the accent of his tenderness that every word I breathe should bless. For those who mourn, a word of cheer, a word of hope for those who fear, a love and love to all men, far or near. Oh, that it might be said of me, surely thy speech betrayeth thee as a friend of Christ of Galilee. In this day, oh, how we need there to be graciousness, appropriateness, power in the lives and tongues of those who are looked to as those who are supposed to teach the younger. And then they should be contented with the Lord. Look with me there back at verse 3. Not given to much wine. Isn't that interesting? Not coping inappropriately. You think today of all the ways that people are coping with stress in our undisciplined society. You've got drink, of course, as mentioned here, prescription drugs, all the different technological coping that goes on. You'd be amazed how, with the older generation, how much that is there now. Improper reading, eating, materialism, gambling is a major problem. Social life, and so forth. I'm amazed as I hear more today. And ladies, how important it is not to have a habit of coping, but instead be able to handle life and be able to tell young women, to tell your grandchildren, to tell the young people that you teach at church, there is a God who gives you peace. There is a God who gives you contentment, that his way is right. And oh, there ought to be a marveling at how good God is. And what a message to be given to the next generation. We should instead, we are to not be drunk with wine where it is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. Well, we could go on. Secondly, exhort to godliness in the home. The very last phrase of verse 3, teachers of good things. And I tell you, ladies, this is a time in which we need women to rise up and have an enormous impact on the younger generation. Don't blame Gen Z. Don't blame the millennials. I always, whenever somebody talks about the young generation, it is the older generation. And all of us that have gone down the path for a while, it is our responsibility for what we have done or not done, and it is now our responsibility to be a guide and a help and to have the power of God in our lives. I'm telling you, homes ought to be the very place where the presence of God is known. We need to get back to strong morality, strong ethics, strong discipline, a love for God, a reality in our homes. And so women need to be able to teach the younger generation what it means to do that which is good. So therefore, we need to have an exemplary life. Godly women have a great impact on culture. You know, no one had ever scaled Mount Everest until Sir Edmund Hillary did it in 1953. Since then, hundreds of people have done it. One person did it, and a lot of other people followed. I tell you, one godly woman affects a lot of people. Now, let me just say, everybody here, don't you appreciate godly women that you know? Isn't it a special? It's just a special touch. I thank God for godly women in this church. God has graced us. It makes all the difference. I'm telling you, it gives solidity to the preacher to be able to preach. These things are so. Folks, this is not a small matter. This is a big matter. Our children will model what they see for more than what they hear. And so we need to, ladies, be encouraged. You say, well, I've not been a good example. You can be from this day on. Aren't you glad for the grace of God? In fact, you can be just a trophy of grace. And you can start living and teaching good things. 1 Timothy 4:12 says to the younger, but you could even say to those in younger in spiritual growth, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit in faith in purity. And so it's important not only to have an exemplary life, but a discipleship focus. Older women are to instruct them in the things that will command the highest blessings upon their personal lives, domestic efforts, and public opportunities. It is so important that we have a model and that we take time to teach. Proverbs 16:31, the hoary head is a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness. And now number three, here's what is taught. Exercise godliness in submission to what God has for us. And we look at verse 4, that they may teach the young women to be sober. And so that's self-control, sound-mindedness, not controlled by emotions, cultural pressures, not to be so concerned about being liked, not to be driven by insecurity, but learn to have their sense of purpose found in their relationship with God and who they are in Christ. And they need to realize that the Word of God is true. Folks, the Word of God is being seen today more true than ever in all of history. You look at what the Bible teaches, and it stands out against the chaos in our world. And you look at what's happening internationally, and the Word of God prophetically shines like a bright light. If ever there's a day that we ought to be absolutely bold in our declaration and living of the Word of God, it ought to be today. And so, ladies, oh, the power that you have. And young ladies, oh, don't get caught up in all of the cultural pressures of our day. It won't work. You will get older. You will face reality. And the pathway that God has, it doesn't get any better than that. And older ladies, you got to teach it. And so what are the things here to be thinking soberly about? To love their husbands. If you're married, how important it is to sacrifice to be part of the cause of Christ through your husband, to be an encouragement, to be willing to follow, realizing that God wants to do a mighty work there. And by the way, that's the word, it's a compound word that has the word phileo, not agape, in it. It's very interesting. It's noble affection. And it's very important, ladies, that you let God overcome whatever issues are in your life so that you can have a genuine affection that is shown for and genuine for your husband. And by the way, that is what is needed for your children. I remember when my kids were in the home, especially when they were smaller, and if my wife and I started kissing one another and hugging one another, we'd have two or three kids around us all at the same time. You know, it's never private. Now it's a dog that does it. He is so jealous of my wife. I mean, you know, if I start hugging her, I mean, he's, you know. So anyway, I think he's got to go. You know, I'm just No, we don't want him to go. He's been around almost 14 years, so got to be careful what I say there. But anyway, it is so important to have that affection. And folks, when it comes to ladies, what a privilege to have children. What a privilege to be able to serve the Lord this way. In our culture today, it is seen as though having a family is in the way of your purpose as a lady, and it's keeping you back from really succeeding in life. And that is not what the Word of God teaches. Certainly, God wants you to be all that God wants you to be, but the greatest work you will ever do is shaping the hearts and souls of eternal children so that they can serve the Lord. And I encourage you to give yourself to that. Agnes Newton Keith agreed it was horrible to be a mother in the Japanese internment camps. It's just beyond. You can hardly read those stories. More horrible than even the mothers could say. Yet in a way, it was heavenly too, she wrote. In the midst of that deprivation, there were 34 reasons for staying alive, every one a child. Those mothers, there were 34 children that those mothers had there in that camp. Describing how the mothers brought all 34 safely through the tragedy, Agnes added, I said to begin with that we brought them all through alive, but perhaps they brought us through alive. Indeed, a child is someone worth living for. If God has graciously given you a child, that is a precious jewel. And there are ladies in this room that would give anything to have a child. Don't take one child for granted. And you're not giving up anything when you give up time to rear that child properly. Listen, the only hope we have for the furthering work of the mighty work of God in our day is for mothers to get back to be excited about being a mother and to let God use them. We all know about Susanna Wesley with her 17 children. She spent 1 hour a day minimally alone with God in her room, primarily praying for them, and her two sons, John and Charles Wesley, were used of God to shake the British Empire. And while the French nation was going down in flames into atheism and the French Revolution, Great Britain was in the thrust of revival and sent missionaries around the world. A mother praying an hour a day changed the face of the world during that time. Willing to be a mother. Spurgeon said, I cannot tell how much I owe to the solemn words and prayers of my good mother. And all you can go through this here, all you need to love them. Don't provoke. Be consistent and disciplined. It's not fun. It's not easy. And be unconditional in your love. An aged, white-haired mother sat with a smile on her face, waiting for her famous son, Dwight Eisenhower, to arrive. Someone said to her, you must be very proud of your great and illustrious son, and upon which she asked, which son? To her, both were just as illustrious that she had. Dwight Eisenhower said, my sainted mother taught me a devotion to God and a love of country, which have ever sustained me in my many lonely and bitter moments of decision in distant and hostile lands. To her, I yield a son's reverent thanks. They need to know that you're living for them. And then again, we have sound thinking. Going back to the text, I have to just quickly go through this. Discreet, again, sound, good thinking. Chaste, oh, I could spend a whole morning. We need clean, pure women today. Oh, the attack on women is horrible. I tell you, shut your technology down in any ways that can pollute your mind. Do not feed on the entertainment of an ungodly culture. Read that which is going to draw you close to the Lord. And if you've had troubles in this area, God is able to cleanse. Take your stand. Get the help you need. But we need pure, godly woman. That's what it says. Teach them to be chaste. Proverbs 31:10, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. All the highest standards of morality, modesty, and distinction should be held by the wife. It ought to be in our hearts. You need to be biblical to the core, and nobody ought to doubt it. I thank God I had a mother that believed the Bible. And I mean, she believed it. She lived it. And I'm so thankful for that. 1 Peter 3:2, while they behold, this is speaking to the ladies, your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. And so I encourage you. Then it has the idea of being keepers at home. Make your focus at home. Work hard at home. Beware of social networking and all of the things that distract you from that. Again, allow God to cause you to be able to focus under his leadership on what he has given to you. And finally, a submission to this role. That's really what it gets down to. If you look with me at the latter part of verse 5, obedient to their own husbands. 1 Peter 3:5, for after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. This is in the middle voice, expressing their voluntary acceptance of the headship of the husband. By the way, this is not dealing with who's superior. This is how God created it. Men and women are equal. In fact, I think women are more equal. I think God did a better job. I can't say that because he did it perfectly, but when he created the woman, that's not the point. God has order. And we have to believe what God says. And when you are in God's order, it's just beautiful how it comes together. And they're just need. In fact, it's the idea. All of us, we need to be submitted as a husband, as a wife, a child, someone as an employee, employer. We need to be submitted to the roles that God has given to us, and to be satisfied and contented to be all that God wants us to be in that situation. I'll conclude with this. Howard A. Kelly, medical doctor, thus dedicated his book, A Scientific Man in the Bible, to my first and best friend, guide of my youth, inspiration and strength of my mature years, and crown of my approaching 70 years, my mother. Mother is the name for God in the lips and hearts of little children. And we could certainly put father in that too, but there's something about a mother. Oh, today, we need New Testament mothers and wives. Let's bow for prayer.